Hello and welcome to the Reign of Blood podcast, brought to you by the Reign of Blood Festival team. So this is the podcast where you get a behind-the-scenes look at the con and the Sharps and Bloody Kingsters all over the world who will be celebrating with us. So this podcast is intended for mature audiences who have an interest in, well, blood and Sharps-based kinks only. So if that's not you, then this podcast definitely is not for you. So these are real stories from real kinksters, and so they may contain discussions surrounding things like health, mental health, kink, blood, self-harm, traumatic experiences, and more. So if you're having a rough day or these topics could be distressing for you, then we would advise you to come back when you're more ready to enjoy the topic with us.
Hey, beautiful Sharps listeners. I'm really excited today. I have our last TOPS panel, a panelist in the dungeon with me, and I'm really excited to welcome the Pain Pup on air tonight. And I followed this human on Insta for a while, so I've had the privilege of looking at some of these really amazing photos. So I'm really excited to speak to this human, puppy, human. And I'm really privileged. And I've got a huge smile on my face because this human ticks all my boxes. But before I ruin the introduction, which I do every time, I will say welcome to the Pain Pup and thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited. I've followed you on Insta for a while and Googled over your photographs. You've got one with insects on your face, which just really ticks all my boxes. I think it's a beautiful piece of art and it's really beautifully done. So before I completely give all the cats out the bag, do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself and maybe how you got started in this journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I go online by that Pain Pup. You can also call me Ray. I'm multi-disabled, trans and queer, and I've been doing sex work since I turned 18. Over the last 2 years, I've been shifting more towards art, and I've been getting like really involved with it, and it's become my full-time gig. And so most of the art that I do is relating to very heavy needle use, but everything else is relating to fetish or just like oddly discomforting thing, like playing with bugs or having teeth all over my face or something like that. And I'm really privileged to have this as my full-time gig. I have a few big bodies of work that are getting published later this year, which is really exciting for me. And I just really enjoy how it is that I spend my time alive because my art is finding people and reaching people and providing representation. So I'm really satisfied right now. That's like my elevator pitch for myself.
I love that. And I love making art out of sharp things. I'd love to give up my day job to do that. So always keen for some tricks and tips if you have some that I don't have to go to the office ever again. So really envious and it's just been I've gained so much pleasure and so much connection from seeing your work far across the sea. And so whatever you set out to do, you are definitely reaching people. I mean, you've reached a little girl in sunny South Africa, you're definitely making her smile tonight. So I'm very grateful for that. But yeah, definitely just so lovely to hear how empowered you sound when you speak about your journey.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a challenging road as life usually is, you know, but I find that all the really great things are gonna take work and effort, and they're always worth it in the end. And it just feels so good to be moving uphill constantly, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And your beginning, obviously you've told us how you sort of got into this, but what was the spark that got you involved in the sort of fetish side of life?
Yeah, I found fetish pretty quickly. Like, I mean, like sixth grade quickly, because I, you know, unfettered access to the internet and time alone. I was just curious. And so I think the first way I found out that kink was a thing was I saw like two Tom of Finland dudes, which for those who don't know, Tom of Finland always paints like these very beefy men, usually in a bunch of leather. And I was like, whoa, that is super fucking hot. And so I just kind of went down the rabbit hole. And I like to tell this because it's funny and you can laugh, but I would be the kid watching like fetish porn on kink.com with a notepad, and I'd be taking notes on like what people were doing and how they were doing it. And so by the time that I was ready to like start implementing kinkier things with play partners at like 17 or 18, I was really far ahead compared to everybody else. And so it made my transition into sex work really easy. I was a provider for a while, and then I stepped away from being a provider, and now I am only focused on art as well as being a performer. And the performance side is mostly to fuel my art. At around 18, I started going into dungeons pretty consistently and falling in love with the scene. I am very much an old guard leather person, and anyone who knows me well will definitely attest to that. And so I've been cruising through the leather community and places that I've lived. And then this last year or two, I've just really gotten super serious about it. I'm traveling across the country to make big bodies of work with names that honestly have me flabbergasted that they even know who I am, let alone want to work with me. And so I would definitely say that I'm a lifestyle kink player, or I have a 24/7 interest in kink, and it is my whole life.
I love that. I really love that. And I've got such a big smile on my face because I can just hear how authentic and happy you are about the journey. It's, yeah, needles are my absolute passion in my life. I feel the same way. I am. I also travel across my country and play with as many people as I can. So we don't have the big names, but we've got some very special names. So I understand what you're explaining, and it's beautiful to connect. And when it stops being solitary and you find community, it's a really cool feeling. I'm getting a lot of that from Rain of Blood and from chatting to all you amazing humans. So I can completely relate. So you're going to do our tops panel for us, but you more than a top. I think you've already explained that you're a performer, and that you top and you bottom and you self-stab a bit, I think. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And out of the three of those, what is your favorite? And maybe you can tell me about a memorable experience that that sticks in your head with shops play.
Yeah. Shoot, which one is a favorite? I mean, I just really love playing with sharps in any capacity. I suppose that when I self-stab, it's really helpful because I tend to self-pierce when I'm having like an EDS flare-up and I'm in a lot of chronic pain. But my favorite is anytime I get to be around needles. I just really love it. I'll take topping, bottoming, switching, like whatever I can do, it makes me really happy. And then as far as like a favorite memory with sharps, I'm like torn between two, because one is with needles and one was a very ambitious like stapling piece. I suppose I'll start with the needles. I had a friend from online who I had been following for a while come to Denver on a whim, and we met up one afternoon to do a really big piercing piece. And so I took about 65 18 gauge needles to the face. All areas of the face, like cheek, lips, nose, forehead, hairline, you name it. And then we shoved some 23s and 12s through my ears in the cartilage. And so by the end of this scene, my whole face was like mangled with needles. My cheeks were being pulled in different directions. My lips were all tilted and angled because of the needles pulling them together. The pictures are really beautiful, but also really jacked up because my face is just so messy. And then at the end, we did a very like sadistic needle pull where we're just grabbing like 4 or 5 needles at a time and just like ripping them out. And it was so painful. And I was just covered in blood. And I have this really awesome Polaroid of me with just blood running down my body. And I'm like soaked. It looked like some black metal music video, you know? And so that was my favorite memory with needles. But I think my favorite project as far as art and sharps was the staple one. And so I hired a florist who had no kink experience at all to come over and arrange a floral arrangement on my face. And so they made like a flower crown and a bouquet that I would hold in my mouth to look like tentacles. And then we would put flower by flower on my face, and then my dom would staple those flowers in. And so it took about maybe 70 staples to the face, which was a lot. And at the end, I looked very like Midsommar-esque, like I'm just covered in flowers, my whole face. And it was such a unique experience because I see people use flowers so often, like with Shibari, for example, but not as often with sharps. And that was just a really cool photo set. And it ended up getting picked up by two magazines, which is really exciting. And so it hasn't debuted yet. I've just been kind of teasing it because it's going to post in like a week or so. But that was one of my most memorable sharps experiences for sure.
They both sound divine. The face needles is something I'm only starting to explore now. I have a very research-based switchy sister who is determined that, who's determined that we need to practice and we have to have everything researched. And so we're getting to the sharps in the face. We've done one needle through the cheeks, so I hope one day to live up to your 67.
It's a lot of fun.
Sorry, try again. I just got a bit of feedback. That's better.
Yeah, it's gone. I love that for you. And I also love that you're holding like the right amount of reverence to piercing your face, because there's a lot of stuff going on in your face. You know, you got to be really careful. I have quickly become like a very avid face piercer. Like, I know you can't see me right now, but my whole nose is bruised. It looks like somebody punched me in the face. And I have bruises all around my face because I just did a big piercing project the other day, and I was able to get an 8-gauge through my forehead, and so I have this massive bruise and knot on the center of my forehead. I look like I just got beat up, but I will wait until the second my face is bruise free, and then I'll pierce it again. It's really intoxicating, I'm not gonna lie.
Totally intoxicating, and I can't wait to do it again. I have to tell you, and I look at your photos and I'm like, oh my gosh, one day. They're really cool, and I have so much respect for it, because they look like chaos, but they're not. You can see that there's a plan and that you've really worked hard to put it together. So talking about that a little bit, maybe you can tell some of the listeners what important things are for you in setup for something like that, and if you have any sort of rituals that go into preparation for a piece like that.
Yeah, absolutely. My first thing is music. I really like to have music going. If I'm piercing myself, I'll have headphones in, but if I'm piercing with others, I will just use a speaker. But I find that the music really helps me like calm my brain and helps me get into my center a little more. And then I just love taking my time setting things up. And so that's not to say that I don't usually take my time with things, but I'm putting like extra effort, extra mindfulness. And so I am moving as if I have a direct connection to each object that I'm touching, like laying the needles down with care, putting things exactly where I need them, you know, like putting my trays at the right angle so that way I can reach them. And I think that that's a translation from when I used to work in food service and having things exactly how I want them. But I really like to take time with setup. And then when I'm self-piercing, getting like a big mirror is really helpful. I'll just stand listening to my music in the mirror and just kind of map out how I want to pierce. And this is how I pierce other people too. For context, I used to be a chef. In my vanilla life. I don't do that anymore because this is my full-time gig, but I use a lot of my plating techniques from when I worked in fine dining to translate that into my piercing. And so you have like the dish itself, right? Which is like your main focus. And so I'll put the main focus down, whether that's a design or my asymmetrical chaos, as I like to call myself as a piercer. And then I put the quote unquote garnish, and that's just me allowing things to fall into place. So once the big thing is there, I just fill in what feels right to me. And it feels like plating, and it also feels like painting art. And I take so much mindfulness into what I'm piercing and how I'm piercing, and I'm very cognizant of the energy either within myself or with those that I am playing with and piercing with. It makes the practice so much more sincere and authentic. I'm really big on authenticity. And I think there's something really important about holding reverence for blood, because blood is the thing that literally keeps us alive. And so I treat it with the proper respect. And I think that it really just shapes my practice to be very unique compared to some. I'm not saying it's like the best, it's just mine. And then you see that it's mine. And I really appreciate that. I hope that answered your question well.
I did, and you had me lulled into this beautiful, I was in the journey with you, and I was almost there piercing with you. It was beautiful to listen to you. But I'm going to ask you for the three words that you would use to describe your piercing or your art, and then tell me why you've chosen them. And the word that I would probably have chosen, and you said it a couple of times, would have been authentic. I find your work incredibly authentic and incredibly, you said the asymmetrical chaos, like I see the chaos, but it's a planned chaos. Like I see your plan behind it. Like it is chaos, but it's to create chaos that beautifully, there has to be a plan. So really enjoyed listening to you explain that.
I appreciate that. So for the three words, yes, authentic is definitely the first one. And then I think focused is definitely the quick second. And then I think vulnerable is the third. And so, like, starting in order as far as the explanation, authenticity is the most important thing to me, because life is long and life is short. And so generally speaking, I as a human want to be as truthful with my actions and my words and my existence as possible. And so it's important to translate that to my art. And so I do minimal editing on the pictures that I take, because I want people to see it exactly how it is, instead of correcting every little minuscule detail that I dislike, you know, because I, as a human, we're imperfect. We're an imperfect species. And I really love that. And I think that that applies to my face too, because faces are asymmetrical. And so I try and lean into that. Focused was the next one. And it's because art feels like my purpose for being alive. Like, it is truly my passion. And so I put a lot of energy into what I'm doing, whether it is me directing the art as the bottom, or whether it's me directing the art as the top, or just the artistic partner. I make sure that I'm looking at the whole thing. And so if you were in the room with me, you'll see me getting really close and then stepping a few steps back, and then repeating that over and over to make sure that I'm not missing anything. And I'm also paying attention to the people that I'm working with. And so the focus is not just on the art, it's on the experience, because it's so energetic. And I want to make sure that I am in tune with those that I'm working with. And then that brings me to the third one, which is vulnerability. You know, a lot of what I do is very challenging because it's on the face. And I think that that's kind of like a double-edged sword, right? We, as our society, tend to put a lot of value in the face, because that is what, quote unquote, like, comes through the door first, you know? And so the first part about piercing a face is you have to accept the fact that there will be scarring on your face from the needles. And so how I am presenting myself to the world with this art is also leaving permanent marks of that art on my face. And so I'm taking my body, and I am transmuting my body for the appreciation of others around me. And that feels very vulnerable. You know, I'm literally changing my physical form permanently every time I undertake this art, even non-needle art. Like, I lost some skin to the scorpion on my face. So, like, I am permanently altering my body. And then the other side of vulnerability is being queer and being trans. And then that goes hand in hand with the authenticity. You know, I like to present myself very fully. And it can be scary sometimes to share that I am disabled and I have a lower lifespan than those around me, and to be so honest about these things. It's kind of terrifying sometimes to share it in great detail with those around me. But I think that all three of these things form this beautiful like trifecta, or like a beautiful triforce to my work. I'm just sitting here drawing a triangle with my hands right now. But yeah, I think that that just really shapes my practice.
Oh, I absolutely love that. The fact that you remind, I think needles for me are a way to be present with myself and present with the people that I love or that I want to spend time with, and completely focused on that moment. So, you know, there's no white noise, there's nothing else matters at that exact point except the moment. And I had lost that for a long time. Needles gave that back to me, and I found a lot of freedom in enjoying that with self-pierce and with topping or with bottoming. I did have a giggle because I top very well from the bottom as well as from the top. So I did have a smile when you said that you were helping your tops as well there. I enjoyed that and related to it. But it's so lovely to hear you talk about your art, and it's so easy if I hadn't known that I was speaking to you and I was listening to you talk now, I would have instantly related it back to your pictures. So it's lovely to see that you're so connected and have such an awareness about what's going on. You get to play with a whole bunch of really cool people, which is awesome. But for those, what are your sort of top tips for picking a partner, and what are sort of some big green flags that you look for when you're looking to play with somebody?
Yeah. I mean, as far as tips with finding a partner, I just don't compromise on yourself, you know, because you know what you like, what you don't like, what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And you know that better than anyone else. And so I promise you that no experience is worth compromising important morals to yourself. So just be honest with yourself and with scene partners. Green flags, communication is the first one. Like if you are an excellent communicator in any aspect, like if you can explain your history with kink or this activity or your interests, and you're just very articulate, that makes me more inclined to pursue a scene with you, because you seem to know what you're about. And I really appreciate that. And I think that might just be me, because I have some like physical things that necessitate that. I like people who are punctual too, because if you're taking time out of your day to make space to do something big like this, it's always really happy like to see people showing up and honoring your time and your commitment, because being punctual is free and it takes no energy or experience. Like you can just do it. You just have to choose to do it. Let's see, other green flags that I really look for. I really like people who are just interested in what it is we're talking about. Like if somebody wants to get spanked, but it's not necessarily like a really fun thing for them, I might just suggest something else. You know, when I'm looking for piercing bottoms, I want to find people who are really interested in piercing, whether that is a very experienced needle player or it's a person who's never played with needles who is fascinated with them, you know. I like to make sure that people are very close to 100% about things, because especially with sharps, the last thing you want to do is have somebody have an aversion to the thing last minute because they were second guessing themselves, which takes us back to the first part, you know, making sure we're being truthful to ourselves. And those are all really simple things. You know, I suppose I don't necessarily look for all the bells and whistles with people, because I just want to have good experience, and I feel as though I can intuit whether people are good for me or not. But I think that those are some really good tips for those who may be listening.
I love that. I also like that open communication. I'm a big communicator. I think as I got older, admin is one of my kinks, so I really want to know that you're committed to the process. But more than that, I want to know that it's actually your intent to do the sharps, that it's, you know, the intent is not something else in the session, and that you're really there for the love of the needles. I think that's it's a huge tick in my box, and I like my energy just grows from that a lot. So I think intent and being present and some, it's sort of one of the empowering gifts that Sharps has given me. Have you found something in your journey that Sharps has brought into your life?
I think I found a greater connection to my energetic center, because as you know, Sharps is, it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? Because you have to be able to withstand the pain of the needles. And then sometimes you're leaving those needles in for an extended period of time. And then you have to remove all of those needles and then clean. And so it's a longer process than maybe say some impact or something like that. And I live in a lot of chronic pain just due to like my body kind of sucking. but needles has found a way to help me find an even greater connection to my center. And I say center because that's how I process pain. And I think that needles are such a unique pain that it's allowed me to kind of focus my lens even more on how I process pain. And I also think that needles have helped me to reclaim a lot of like my medical background. You know, I've been in and out of hospitals since I was a kid. I've been in and out of procedures since I was a kid. I couldn't even tell you how many times I've had to have blood pulled in my life. It's way too much. And so getting to play with needles now, especially hypodermics, allows me to rewrite some of those experiences, because as we know, hypodermics are what we use in the medical field. And so that has been really powerful for me to kind of go back to that younger version of myself, and then the older version, and then the present version, because I'm still in and out of doctors and hospitals, and kind of take back some of this experience and some of the just trauma that is caused by living in a very medically involved way.
Oh, that is so authentic. I love it. I love that you found empowerment from that. You do quite a lot of face needles. You've spoken about the fact that they are risks, and that you are accepting something into your risk budget, like the scarring, and it's something that you embrace. But is there anything that you do specifically from an aftercare or a self-care routine that goes hand in hand with Sharps Play for you?
Yeah, the first thing I like to do is go take a shower immediately post scene. And that's just because I typically tend to be doing larger scenes that bring out a fuck ton of blood. And so it's really nice to wash that off of me and just kind of feel warmth embracing my body, like a really big blanket or like a really nice hug. And then aftercare, I like to sit with a partner or the scene partner. And that includes my self-stabs too. Like I like to have physical connection. And even if it's not physical, just having emotional connection and chatting, verbal connection, that feels really regulating to me. And I also, like, this is a really small, silly thing, but I love to have like a seltzer water and like a sweet treat, like a Snickers or something. I've had a Snickers for the first time this year, and I've never looked back. They're so yummy. And so they really help me get my blood sugar up post scene. And I said seltzer water because I don't drink. And so that gives me like some sort of treat that is a beverage that I really enjoy. And it just feels really nice. It feels very grounding, especially after some of these very intense scenes. And then I also like to look through the pictures while I am coming down, and I can chat about the experience while we're looking at the pictures. Like, oh yeah, like that needle was really challenging, or oof, that button looks really, really good. And so that's a little different than when I make my art usually, because I don't go and immediately look at pictures unless it's with Sharps. And it lets me feel like I can appreciate the whole experience, because now when I look at the pictures, I am seeing the project in a way that I might not have as the bottom or even as the self-stabber. And so that's really lovely.
I love that. For me, I'm a photographer in the vanilla world, and I have to say that I don't eagerly go home to process my pictures normally, but when we do needles, it's part of my download. It's part of like my debrief with myself, is to have a look again and see it from fresh eyes. And I think the art, because I've either topped it or bottomed it, the art's much more 3D than a normal art piece for me. So it's got emotion and it's got feeling, and I'm not only looking at the pictures, but I'm still feeling it and I'm sort of breaking it down in my head. So I just love listening to that. And your Snickers thing, like, that's a win. That's such a win. We get them here too, and they come in like a double. It's two chocolates in one packet. They're like my absolute best, because I think I'm getting two chocolates for the price of one. I'm not really, but it feels like that. So it feels like I get a bit of a win. But there's something about the peanuts and the chocolate mixed together that just ticks all my boxes. So it's my chocolate of choice. What's really good with Snickers is if you cut it up and you put it onto a gooey cheese pizza. It's amazing. It's so incredible. It is so good. You have to just try it once. I promise you, you will not look back.
No, I'll definitely. But
I also don't drink, and the sparkling water is my thing. We get flavored, like very remotely flavored water here. And I do the rose water, and I do the double Snickers bar, because I think I'm getting extra treats because there's two in one packet. So Snickers also ticks my boxes. They've definitely learned their marketing skill for me, because I just think I'm getting something for free, so it tastes even better. And then future projects, what's on the cards for you? What's coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good question. I'm actually going on a tour this summer, and so I will be traveling all the way up the West Coast and through most of the east side of the United States. And so that's something that I'm working really hard towards, and I'm continuing to make a lot of art to like help get my name out there more, because I do a lot of heavy stuff. And so something I have to accept with that is really heavy players aren't necessarily for everybody. And so I only have like around 8,000 people online, and it means a lot to be able to create art and fund this project, so to speak. And so the tour is going to be really big. I have a lot of really cool opportunities coming up. I'm working with a lot of really cool people. I don't want to name drop right now because I would like it to be a surprise, but I'm really excited about that. I also just had one of my scenes picked up by a big production studio in the United States called Aorta Films. And so I'm officially part of Community Hardcore, and I'm really excited because that scene is going to release with their website soon. And so that feels like an upcoming project for me, because I have a lot of like social media marketing to do with the Aorta Films people, which is really exciting. And then I'm also really looking forward to this fall, because I have a really big trip to New York, and I'm going to get a lot of really cool art done. And something in particular I'm really looking forward to is being in full leathers, like head to toe leathers, in downtown New York City, and then having a street photographer take pictures of me. I'm really excited for that. And then also, as a non like artistic thing, I have my kinky wedding coming up in September, which I am really, really excited about. We're going to have like the vanilla wedding ceremony, and then we're going to have the kinky ceremony. So the vanilla people will leave, the kinky people will stay. And I'm going to have one of my very close friends pierce the two of us. We're going to do scarification on one another. I'm going to get drowned. I'll present my dom his first pair of like leather gloves. And so that feels like a really big upcoming thing to me. And it's still along the lines of kink, so I thought it would fit.
Oh, that sounds amazing. That sounds super cool. And the vanilla people that don't leave will be kinky by the end of your wedding. So, you know, you will be helping people. Yeah, I think that's amazing. Oh, congratulations. That's such a beautiful story, and I wish you the absolute best with that. If people want to reach out to you and they want to get hold of you, I'm going to drop all your links in your bio, but do you want to give our listeners who can't see the bio a way to connect with you? Because I really like people to be able to find you.
Yeah, absolutely. My handle online is thatpainpup, and it's the same on every platform, FetLife, social medias like Instagram, Twitter, etc. And so that's the best way to find me. And then my website is also on all of those social medias as well. So between here or there, you'll be able to find me somehow.
Oh, that's absolutely incredible. I'm really grateful for your time, and I've really enjoyed chatting to you. I'm going to just say it was a complete privilege. You've blown my mind, and I wish you all the best for everything that's coming up. And we can't wait to have you on our panel for Rain of Blood. Thank you so much for your enthusiasm and for giving us a shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I'm really excited to be a part of this really awesome experience. So thank you.
Thank you. And lovely listeners, for those of you who don't have your tickets for Rain of Blood, we are selling out quickly. We have some amazing podcasts available. So take a listen, show these amazing artists some love and some support, follow their socials, give their work some loves online. And just stay sharp, and lots of love and sharp kisses from Miss Kitten in Cape Town, South Africa.